support and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. We are back, having been gone for 2 months now, I think.
A month and a half.
It's been a wee while. I've moved house. You will find that this is the new studio. Actually, I should put you guys on the screen. There we go. There you go. They're reclined, in a reclined position. They're here. Sam and Chiz. Hello, gents.
He looks as...
You've got a good crutch shot.
Oh, Sam! Hey! Get in there!
This is a middle-aged
crutch. Come and sit on place. Uncle Sammy's knee.
Welcome to Crutch Roulette.
Here we go. Full screen there. Do you want to get that crutch cam going again? No, we're done. Okay, fine.
Always late to the gags.
Sorry, I was busy writing down... I was busy writing down the show title, and then I realised that I hadn't changed the camera angle yet. Crutch cam.
Really?
I think that's a good show title.
I think we might get the wrong kind of hits.
Well, any hits is good hits, surely. I'm really distorted. Apparently we're really distorted. Hold on, I'm just going to turn down my mic volume.
All of us or just you?
Let's try that. Ewan, can you give me a view as to whether that's any better? We're going to carry on the show. We've been gone for about a month and a half.
Ewan's the person in his head. It's not actually anyone.
Ewan doesn't really exist. It's all a figment of my imagination.
I enjoyed that. I like that little image.
Cool.
So anyway. He looks like a charismatic weasel.
There's absolutely a bit more of whatever you did, right?
Okay.
This is all. So if you're listening to the audio, I'm really sorry. This probably isn't all that entertaining now. But on the plus side, it's as entertaining as the rest of the show is going to get. So, we have had in the off season, in the last sort of week and a half. Oh, perfect. We're perfect now, guys. I certainly am. I can't speak for you two.
We're anything but.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Fair enough. Ed. Coincidentally, I don't know if you knew we were doing a show tonight or not, has sent us a message.
I've been wondering where the hell we are. Actually, we've not been feeding them for ages.
Sam's talking about redecorating his shed, though, so at least he'll have somewhere new to live, which would be nice.
Yeah. I'm just going to put a roof on it.
Right, okay, that's very kind of you. This is possibly one for Chiz, because I don't really have an opinion on this, and neither does Sam. So Ed sent us a message earlier on this evening. Hi, lads. Firstly, you don't have to reply to this tonight.
Oh. We are doing.
Did they send it today?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well, no, actually.
Should we reply to
it? Because it'll be days and days and days before this gets posted, so we're not.
I've now got a train journey to edit these things in, so it might actually get done tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. I've got an hour's train journey, 2 hours train journey every day now. Okay, it's just that I need some help. I've got no memory left in my Xbox One. Microsoft should have made them 1 terabyte from day one. Can you recommend a good external hard drive to store things on? I have no clue about these things. Hope you're okay. Cheers for your time, Ed. So, Chiz, tell me. Do you have an opinion on this?
Just like any USB 3 you'd do.
Any USB 3. The one I've got's the Samsung. I mean, we even caught, yeah, but anyway.
The Samsung.
External drive, you can get it for about 30, 40 quid for a terabyte. That'll do the job.
Really? You don't have to have, like, the proper Xbox One now?
No. External hard drive and USB port, and if it's USB 3, they're actually faster than the one that's in the Xbox as well.
What are you doing?
I'm adjusting Chizzy's volume. He was a bit quiet.
I can't hear anything now. You've turned him down.
Has he? Yeah, I can't hear anything.
Oh, okay, sorry. There you go. Okay. I'm back now.
Any external USB 3 hard drive should do the job.
I think we've answered that question.
I think we have, acceptably.
Another one for the panel, please.
So, chat room's asking, so that's fine for the Xbox, what about the PS3?
No one cares.
No, PS3. The question's about PS3. So PS3, what if you run out of space in your PS3, what can you do about that?
Don't they have, like, memory cards or cartridges, 64-bit cartridges or something?
For the PS3 you can upgrade the actual hard drive. You can crush it open.
That's what I'm saying. But I don't think the PS3 does external hard drives. But you can.
You can just crush it.
It's just a laptop hard drive. You can take that out and swap it out. But you can't do that on the Xboxes.
No.
But you can just plug an external drive.
So any old sort of laptop drive can go into a PS3. That's right, isn't it? But I never did that.
But you lose your data on the one you're taking out. You probably have to back.
Can you not do any kind of? Was it? I can't remember if it was the PlayStation 2. There was actually a tool that was released. It was kind of a hacker tool that allowed you to copy your data over when you were upgrading the hard drive.
The PS2 was just memory card, so it was quite easy. It'd be the PS3.
I can't remember what it was. Or maybe it was the Wii, actually. I can't remember. I certainly did a thing where it was the Xbox. It was the original Xbox. Yeah. So when you transferred hard drives.
That was the first console to actually have a proper hard drive in it.
So when you transferred hard drive, there was actually a piece of software you got that when you put in a bigger hard drive, sorry, I've just realised you guys have been on the camera for the whole time. Sorry. When you put in a bigger hard drive.
What's wrong with that?
Jez has just shown a little bit too much crotch for my liking. When you put a bigger hard drive,
he always knows how to stab me in the heart.
He does, doesn't he? On the cock.
You had a bit of... Oh, screw it. I'm not going that anywhere. Anyway, right. Since we've been gone, it was about a month ago.
Since you've been gone.
Crackdown 3's come out. Crackdown 3 was announced. Sorry, I did actually know. I've got that written down here.
Well, it's kind of been announced for a while.
They've actually shown it off now.
Yeah, so...
We haven't seen anything until...
We actually have a trailer here. Hold on, we can put the trailer on. Let me just pop the trailer on there for you children.
But yeah.
So it was announced at GamesCon. It's only going to be an Xbox One.
Yep.
So this trailer has been dubbed the Ultimate Sandbox. Game will feature transforming vehicles and a 100% destructible game world. And according to IGN, it's utilizing Microsoft's cloud computing feature. The game, which will also apparently leverage processing power 20 times more than the capacity of an independent Xbox One console. So,
I think that's really cool because really, Crackdown was, I think, kind of one of the first proper sandboxy, first person-y type things, third person rather.
It's one of the first games you could actually cope with. It was three other friends and just mess about in the world.
And stuff was destructible and you could nick off with cars and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a video that they showed of they showed how many servers were getting used when they destroyed it was skyscrapers and it was really, really, really impressive thing. So, although they've said you only get that sort of... It's only 100%... It's destroy everything on the multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
The single player is not for story elements.
Oh, is that because on the single player you can't
destroy a building because you're going to have to go back to it maybe at some point.
Oh, I never thought of that. So
in the multiplayer, in that whole session, you can basically level the whole city.
Right.
And then when you leave and come back, it'll be obviously respawned.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time you're on there, you can go around with your mates and just destroy everything.
That's kind of cool. I just assumed on the single player it was doing that because you can't guarantee an internet connection.
There's still a part to it. For example, you could be inside a building and rather than using the stairs, you could blow a whole hole in each floor and jump your way up. And
that's cool.
So you can destroy some elements and some buildings or whatever, but you won't be able to maybe take out... You won't be able to level the whole city like you can in the multiplayer game.
Right, okay. So actually, the multiplayer game, theoretically, could you take down everything? Absolutely everything?
I think so, yeah.
Just have... A field,
and its rubble's persistent as well because that doesn't vanish. That ends up becoming more of the battlefield. So if you depending what way you take out,
so you still got cover and stuff.
Yeah,
awesome.
Depending what way you nail a skyscraper, it'll stay there, and you could create your own bridges from it and whatnot, and use it as a ramp to drive into another skyscraper and blow up that. So I think it looks fantastic.
Yeah, I
and actually something. That'd be banging the drum about the cloud
computing. What coin well made,
I was trying to articulate and then Chiz just carried on. Yeah. So I thought, screw it. Fine.
Is that what you heard from Crazy Dave this morning on the train?
It was actually. Yeah, there was this guy in the bus tonight and he stank. And it's hot in Edinburgh. I was crazy. Anyway.
You were the only one on the bus, weren't you?
I was.
I was going to say
Bead,
but that's better.
Yeah, as I was saying, and Crackdown's the only thing it's actually showed off they've been banging on about it's the Xbox using the cloud for ages, which a lot of folk have been taking the piss out of them for. So they keep saying the cloud when we've not actually seen it, and now they've actually got a game where they can actually, this is what the cloud's capable of doing, and it's pretty cool.
So that's what I was going to say before when
rather
I was able
than just
to
drivatars or something.
Drivatars, right, okay. What I was going to say before as well is this multiplayer beta that Chiz has mentioned. Sorry, the multiplayer game has actually got beta coming out summer 2016 as well. So I imagine it'll be some sort of link in with having to pre-order the game or something like that. They didn't actually mention that yet, but usually these kind of things are. So multiplayer beta summer 2016. I couldn't find anywhere that actually talked about when this game was officially coming out. Is there any official word yet?
End of next year, I think.
Is it winter next year?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's delayed, but it's we've got at least another year to go.
Yeah. And it's Xbox One exclusive as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just on its own, so.
Don't mind delays as long as they announce them relatively early.
The finished product actually worthwhile in the end.
A week before.
Yeah, week before annoys me.
When you've booked off work to play Total War and it's been cancelled.
Actually, no one say anything. But I've actually booked 2 days off for when Fallout 4 comes out.
Nice.
When was the last time you actually, the only year actually taken a day off for a game being released?
Fallout 4, I'm doing it.
You might not, but
I will probably do it for Warhammer Total War as well.
Did we not do it for one of the Gears a few years ago? I think it was Gears 2.
I did it for Gear. I was working at Matalan at the time and I worked up my hours before the Friday, and just so I was off on the Friday, so when the game arrived, that's what I did. So
I'm sure I took the day off for Gears 2 as well, because I remember us playing Gears 2 online when it came out that day. I think that's the only one I've ever done.
I think this might be the first time I've ever done it, really.
Right.
But I'm doing it for Fallout 4.
Yeah, there we go. Anyone,
you took the day off for the Xbox One coming out, which I know it's not a game, didn't you? Didn't in the end. Didn't in the end. Yeah, you were considering it until we had that whole debacle.
Did it come late?
Yeah,
can
it, everything that you pre-order comes late.
Well, no, it's where we ordered it from. Kind of
really makes me warm and fuzzy inside.
It was a bit ridiculous. Love Toys R Us. Anyway, Quantum Break. Quantum Break was
starring Iceman.
Iceman, Merry from Lord of the Rings, and Littlefinger from Game of Thrones as well. So they've completely recast this. Aidan Gillen,
Dave,
Dominic
George
Mohan, and Sean Ashmore. Sean Ashmore's
got one name kind of pronounced it correctly, I think.
Dominic Monaghan. Is that the one I got right? Sean Ashmore and Aidan Gillen. Gillian. Basically, his little finger.
It's
got that weird Scottish accent thing going on.
It's the last one. You can't talk about pronunciation if you're not even going to make the effort.
So this
quick poll.
This was supposed to come out. It's been pushed back because of a variety of reasons. But basically, Microsoft has completely redebuted, a completely recast version of Quantum Break at GamesCon. Probably by the development's taking ages. It's mainly a British cast, with the obvious exception of Sean Ashmore, who's got the lead role in this, who, as Chiz rightly mentions, Iceman and X-Men, and Lord of the Rings, Merry, and Littlefinger. What's your thoughts on this one, Chiz? You're looking forward to this?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. They're mixing it with a TV show, so it's your choices. I'm still hazy in whether or not how that's going to blend together. Like, do your choices in the game change the TV show or something? I'd be interested how it links together with
that. They did that with Defiance, which is an online thing. And I actually went, I stumbled, we talked about it ages ago, but I stumbled on Defiance, the TV show. And because I'm a massive geek and it's quite good sci-fi, kind of post-apocalyptic type stuff, I quite enjoyed it. So I watched like the first series and then went off and got the game, started playing the game, and the second series came on, and I think they're now on the third, but I haven't seen it. And it all started to kind of start tying in with where I was on the game. It was really quite good.
All
right.
Really? And that was,
that's quite impressive.
Yeah. Defiance, both the game and the
Defiance Fall of Man.
No.
No.
It's just called Defiance.
That's a different game, isn't it? Defiance Fall of Man.
I don't think that's even a game.
Yes, it is. It's in my head, therefore it is a game.
Okay. And I think there is a series.
I'm going to find that, because I'm sure I'm right.
No, don't pull.
Yes.
No. Because no one's actually interested.
Defiance.
No.
Fall of Man. What? Defiance.
Oh my God, the pictures that came up there.
Okay, there's no reference anywhere on the internet for anything referring. It's called Defiance Fall Apart.
On holiday.
Do you notice Google's changed its logo Sidebar. Anyway,
there's a bit of a online travesty about it.
Yeah, it's probably.
Is there?
Yeah,
I even want to know.
People care. I don't know why. It's not. I don't think it looks as nice actually.
It's got a bit of a sort of a child's play look about it, like it's like Toys R Us.
I could have drawn that. Well, no, I couldn't. Not me.
As with everything, Sam,
like a child could
in a design community.
Someone who could have drawn it.
Yeah, I could have.
It's less about you being able to design it, and it's more about you coming up with the story behind it. That's the main thing about.
Oh, I can talk bullshit all day. I'd be fine with that.
1850.
Does that count?
We made a decision that did. If you want to change, you've got to redo the constitution.
I know the latter part of it, but I combined it with the other one.
Do you want me to tell you which words we're not allowed to say?
Scale by a quick rundown.
There we go. Oh. You can do that on one beat.
That was a good one. Scalebound is another one that came. It was announced, or rather, give more information at Gamescom. It's an Xbox One exclusive from Platinum Games, the same company who made Metal Gear Rising, Revengeance, Vanquish, and so on. It was first revealed at
E3. Bayonetta is probably the one they're most famous for.
Sorry?
It's Bayonetta is probably one of the most famous.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah. First revealed at E3 2013. But we've heard nothing since until... this video that came out of Gamescom, which you're watching right now. It looks quite cool. It's part of it's a four-player co-op game player. No announcement whether that's going to be split screen or it's just going to be online only. That main gentleman that you're seeing there is called Drew, and the world he is currently inhabiting is called Draconis. Draconis? Draconis.
Draconis?
Yeah, Draconis, that sounds right. the main plot here is this dude here is sort of got part beast around him. He's got beastie arms, he can ride and communicate with these things, so we're not actually got the sound up just now because it kind of gets in the way of the us talking.
He's telling the dragon off.
But they actually communicate with each other.
Voice wise really irritating, but the game actually looks pretty cool.
It does. It's a bit of a hack 'em slash 'em, which of course Chiz, you dislike.
Yeah. That's good, like Platinum Games I've done. The only hack 'em slash I've enjoyed lately have been done by Platinum Games, so.
You seem to be able to control a massive
dragon. Hang on, he's got headphones on.
Yeah, he's a tool. But
the music kind of got louder in the background when you put the headphones
right,
on.
Right, so is he from... Is this one of, like, he's there from this world and he's wearing headphones or something? What,
you mean like...
Oh, dear, you filthy, dirty...
So I feel burp in your face here.
Oh, Alan Bastard.
I wish I had, like, a replay thing of this. I could go back and see you actually burping in his face. But
was that a burp?
I don't know. I don't remember farting.
Do you not know?
I farted. I didn't even know.
All right. Well, when you bum that often, a certain amount of seepage is to be expected, really, isn't it? That was honestly hideous.
I cannot smell a thing. Are you sure it's just not you?
No, it's not just me. My own fragrant farts smell delicious to me, and I just feel hungry afterwards. Right, so back to this thing.
Anyway, are we back to where we need to
please
be?
Please don't do that again.
I didn't even know where it was. It's a stealth one.
I'm just leaking.
Yeah. It's a sold sneak of the fart world.
I'm a slowly deflating balloon of fart.
Right, anyway, so this is them now fighting a sort of a...
praying mantis, sort of a, but with fat hands instead of the thin clothing.
So this is basically a demonstration that they seem to be fighting sort of humanoid characters, and then also these beasties come along and they fight them too. It does look kind of cool. It's interesting.
It does,
Anything that makes you control a massive dragon is always going to be a bit fun.
But do you actually control the dragon? From everything that I've seen, you sort of say, dragon, attack that thing over there. You don't literally control the dragon. Whatever that is, I don't know if it's a dragon.
That counts.
Saying it commands, as far as I can tell, but whether or not you can actually get onto it and then take control, I'm not entirely sure.
But, now, then he turns
into... He did a thing. He turned into like a little wood man or something.
Sam has actually watched all these videos beforehand, and this is just incredible acting to suggest that he doesn't actually know what we're talking about here.
Yeah. People know of my acting skills. Anyone that's listened or watched us before know of my incredible shock and awe on
Indeedly do, they do. Yeah. Yes, yes. This does look interesting.
There's the one where the girl gobbles the guy, and then there's the one where the...
No, come on. There wasn't any girls in this one.
Oh, those ones.
Anyway. So this is Scalebound. We don't have a release date or anything like that. It will be an Xbox One exclusive. That's all we know so far. But will you guys be picking this up, do you think?
I'm going to wait for more on it, but it looks all right.
It certainly kind of looks... Sam, I would... it doesn't really look your cup of tea, I have to say.
No, probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, but yeah. So Scalebound.
I mean, it doesn't look bad, like. I'm not knocking it.
I'm not really big into hack and slash, so I don't know if I'm going to pick that one up. But see, I did enjoy Bayonetta. That was probably about the only one out of the games that Platinum Games have made that I really enjoyed. Metal Gear Rising. I never even picked up. I don't think. Anyway, nevertheless. I can tell you. Halo Wars 2. Sam, did you ever play Halo Wars?
No, not really.
No. So this is following on from Halo Wars.
The first one was basically Command and Conquer.
Real-time strategy, yeah.
It was pretty well received, although I played a demo of it, but I never actually played the main game.
I think I played a demo, and it was pretty much, because I'm not knocking it at all, it pretty much was Command and Conquer.
I love Command & Conquer. I mean, it's got a really good element to it, a gameplay element that I don't think has actually been done other than Halo Wars since then. You know what's a really good game that I totally forgot about until it appeared in a video that I was watching the other day? Star Trek Armada. That was a good game.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed
it. Command & Conquer in space. That was a good game.
It's Halo. Well, it was the first Halo Wars. It was actually pretty well. It was received at the time, and it got good reviews for being the first sort of RTS game that worked with a controller and on a console. So, and your favourite games developer making this one.
Yeah, Creative Assembly.
So I think it's in good hands, hopefully.
What species was that lad?
He was a brute.
Was he? They've kind of altered the look of the brutes then.
I think it's just a CG tree where those make things grander, don't they?
Yeah.
It's not in-game graphics here.
So the Halo Wars 2 will come out in autumn 2016, supposedly. And as Chiz rightly pointed out, Creative Assembly, of course, 343 Industries, who are the Halo and Microsoft developer, partnered with Creative Assembly, who made Total War and Total Isolation. Alien Isolation. Though I would love to see an Alien game, Total War Alien game, where you have to deal with a horde coming in. That would be quite cool.
I think you should be in Total Isolation.
Homefront, The Revolution. Oh, wait a minute. This video that I've got here is... we'll wait till it zooms in a little bit.
I think this is probably the CG trick. It looks like if you skip a few minutes into the gameplay part...
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
The first one I was always quite interested in.
Yeah.
I've never actually played looks like, it, though.
It basically kind of... It looks kind of Far Cry-esque, but obviously in the home front sort of fighting... I think it's still... It's North Koreans or something, or is it the North and South have grouped together to actually conquer America and you have your fighting back or something? But gameplay-wise, it looks pretty cool. I'd say, think Far Cry-esque sort of...
I need to kind of find some gameplay. Here we go, here's some gameplay footage.
Taking posts and whatnot and traversing the world.
Yeah, looks quite interesting. It's set... it's due out spring 2016. It's made by Deep Silver. Again, multiplayer beta for Homefront the Revolution will be on Xbox this winter. The game's coming out on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, Mac, and Linux. And apparently, this is actually one of those situations that we like here on the Gamer Show. Apparently, Dambuster Studios were given extra time just to make sure that this game was absolutely perfect because, of course, it took over development from this one, Crytek UK, which I think we spoke about a little while ago.
Yeah, because I think they were part of a... I cannot smell anything.
I can't smell anything over here, Sam.
I think something's crawled up your nose and died.
Is it maybe outside? There is a farm, like, at the back.
Could be.
I can't smell anything.
Every now and again. I'm not making a big deal. Let's keep going. It's all right. The first one, you got a remote control tank in it, didn't you? A pet tank that kind of followed you around and did stuff. And
kind of, yeah. I think I never really properly played it.
I remember that.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, it's just
did we not play Homefront as one of our bargain basement games?
Probably did. I think it was possibly me, but I think I played about 10 minutes of it and bored quickly.
That's sort of the theme for those games, yeah.
Yeah, on this one, it looks like you can get like smaller sort of remote controlled cars and put bombs them and drive them around and blow stuff up. But yeah, I think it looks pretty cool. And it's good that it's actually still around, because I think the publisher it was attached to, I think, went under, and then it was Deep Silver picked it up and saved it and let the...
It was Crytek UK that had developer. It originally.
Yeah, but it's Crytek, I think, kind of... Although they kind of
send, or did they kind of send games. It out to somebody else?
Yeah, I think Crytek kind of saved a lot of small developers in the UK, and then Crytek's going through some struggles now. And then they let this go, and then it's Deep Silver's picked it up, I think, is the gist of it. But yeah, so it's good the game's actually still alive and looks pretty good.
Yeah, we'll see what that kind of comes along with. So that one, as I said, is it winter 2000? I can't remember what I said now. Spring 2016 is when that one comes out. With another one just flying through them now, Mafia 3. Now, this is a game that I've seen bits of Mafia 1 and 2, and I never really... Fallout Shelter Part 1, get rid of that. How do you get rid of that? If I click on that, okay, click on that, right. And then it's gone. Right, cool. So Mafia 1 and 2, I've never touched these
games. Mafia 1 was brutally hard.
I never played
any of these games. Particularly the driving.
Oh, yeah.
And the racing, the one in the racing car.
We had to steal the...
Oh, my God!
I still have nightmares of driving that car.
It was like 100-odd shots, and then finally... Oh. Was that a bottle he was smashing into the guy?
No, that was his NAM knife.
It's just a knife. Yeah. No, totally acceptable.
Yeah,
that's far more okay.
I don't know. There's just something more psychotic about smashing a bottle into someone's face.
So the first two Mafia games were set very much in sort of the heyday of Mafia.
Really played the second one, though.
First one was like 1914.
Yeah, prior to the war and stuff. And this is 1968.
Second one was 1950s, 40s, 50s.
So like wing
tips. Yeah, because the second one, you just come back from the war.
Yeah. And
this one's just after NAM. So.
This one's handling a few sort of like, there'll be quite a race card.
So because it's based in the Deep South and it's just after Vietnam and he's coming back as a Vietnam vet, there's quite a bit of violent racism prevalent because, of course, in that time in history, there was.
Is he a black?
He is a half black, half white bloke. Guy called Lincoln Clay. Born an orphan, went to Vietnam, returned from NAM and found a new family in the Black Mob. It's actually called the Black Mob. I'm not being mean. The storyline basically is the Italian mob wipes out the Black Mob and shoots Clay in the head. I believe this is all part of the original kind of cutscene as the game kind of kicks off, so I'm not giving away any spoilers here. Shoots Clay in the head, leaves him for dead.
It's about to jump onto something.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I will just close that one off.
I think it's done that twice already. That says all cutscenes.
So basically the Italian mob shoots Clay in the head, leaves him for dead. He recovers and then enters, to quote IGN, a rampage of pissed off vengeance. Basically you've got the whole mechanic that you've got in the new Assassin's Creed game as well about bringing together gang leaders and all that kind of stuff. And brings in a few folks from the original Mafia games. I believe it's only Mafia 2, actually. I don't think you get Mafia 1 because probably all dead by then or very, very old. And also, depending on how you how you treat the other gang leaders that kind of come in as your lieutenants, it kind of changes how they might react. So if you treat them nice, it unlocks some special abilities and features and things like that, and you treat them bad, they're likely to betray you and cause you problems.
So does that mean champagne and it's bubble baths? Or?
Champagne, bubble baths, and a reach around, and you will be good. Is basically the order of the day. Anything less than that.
So Paul likes to romanticize you.
Oh, it's true.
I'm looking forward to it. I really enjoyed it was Mafia 2. Mafia 1 was all right.
I really enjoyed Mafia 1, but it was...
I never
brutal.
Played either of the Mafia games. It was a while ago they came out. I mean, I'm sort of familiar with them in the back of my head, but I've never actually played either of them, I don't think. Right, were they, I mean, was Mafia 2 a while ago? Was it last couple of years?
A few years ago now. Five, 6 years ago now, I think, yeah.
All right, okay.
And yeah, it's been a while since the last one. And but I enjoyed it, so I'm going to keep an eye on Mafia 3 and hope it turns out good.
Yep. Mirror's Edge 2 is another one that's was talked about at GamesCon. The interesting thing about this is everywhere that I've read, basically, all of the reviews that I've seen of the preview that they gave away at GamesCon, which is what we're seeing here, I'm just going to close that little window that's appeared there, is almost the exact description of Mirror's Edge 1. Basically, it's really smooth, nice, parkour, run, jump, climb, drop, all that kind of stuff. Hitting the right contextual button at the right time does different things. So if you're flying through the air and you hit the button, it's a roundhouse, so on and so forth. Just a beautiful looking fluid game. There's two main features that I could see were actually different, but in the main, it sort of looks like Mirror's Edge 1. You know, there's nothing really new in the dynamic or anything like that. Yeah. It's maybe just been done well, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's the idea. Like, it was people just wanted another, it's Mirror's Edge game, but more refined and improved upon, while also getting rid of the stuff they didn't like. For example, there's parts in the first game where you could actually, you didn't have to, but you were kind of forced to actually pick up and use a weapon.
There's like a machine gun towards the end, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, which a lot of folk didn't like. So in this one, they're very much going the route where, you don't have to pick up a weapon at all, or I don't think you even can, which is the whole point in the character. It's all about avoiding people and, like, obviously trying to get past people with guns, or either taking them out or being stealthy by running up a wall.
Sort of the main difference is this one's a completely open world, so like with all the other open world games that are out there now, you can kind of choose your path and you can choose if you want to do a side mission, whereas the original Mirror's Edge was a little bit more on rails than this one. And the other thing is there's some puzzles, apparently some elements of when you get in a room, there might be something that's just out of reach that you need to get to, so you've got to kind of use the environment to your advantage. It was sort of described very portally, but I don't really get that. I'm assuming it's being able to move things about as opposed to having a portal gun.
Maybe,
I don't know. I can't remember where I read that. I think it was Eurogamer or something that I read that one. Hopefully get a better story as well. The first story bored the crap out of me. I wasn't interested in that at all. There's no release date or anything like that on Mirror's Edge 2 at the moment, from what I can tell. So we'll keep an eye on this one. I remember us talking about, I'm sure we talked about Mirror's Edge. No, we didn't. I think Mirror's Edge was way before we started doing the Gamer Show.
Yeah.
I remember me and you talking about Mirror, or the three of us talking about Mirror's Edge years ago, and actually been quite excited about it, and then it kind of fell short when it
eventually
came out, which is a bit of a shame.
It wasn't a bad game.
No, I enjoyed it.
I feel a bit sick.
I really enjoyed it, but, well, not so much that I wanted to replay it again, and it didn't really, the only thing that stuck in my head was it was trying to do something a bit different from your standard sort of first-person game, but that was about it. But hopefully, if it's the same idea, but everything's improved, then that's only a good thing. It's still something different than its majority of games out there.
And finally, in our sort of news section here, we spoke about this when it originally kicked off. Marty O'Donnell wins his Bungie legal battle. So to summarise, basically, this is Marty O'Donnell who was commissioned to write the score for Destiny. When Activision sort of started muscling in, and it's basically pissed them off. There's a whole long thing, and if you want to kind of listen to the actual background, it probably go back to an old episode of Gamer Show where we talk about it at length. But essentially, he fell out with the bosses of Bungie, was dismissed in April 2014. Studio reported that they parted as friends, which was interesting, being that it was in the last 6 months of Destiny development. Also, some of the trailers, for example, the trailer that they used at E3 that year didn't have any of O'Donnell's music in it, and there was just a little bit of a funny direction, but it seems to all be sorted out. Eurogamer reporting a new profit sharing settlement for O'Donnell will see the composer paid for the use of his music in the Destiny franchise, the first installment of which is a total of $142,500.
They've just announced add-on stuff for that, haven't they?
So the nice thing about
Stephen King.
Depending on how you look at this, the nice thing about this is that he will continue to be compensated throughout the life of the Destiny franchise, according to this settlement. Interesting.
The whole thing just kind of sounds like the heads at Bungie and Activision have kind of screwed him over a bit. And I think when he wasn't happy about some of the things that was going on when Activision took over, and he voiced these, and then obviously Activision, the heads of Bungie, didn't like that. He didn't like that, and forced him out of the company. And
basically, that seems to be what's coming out.
And he's won the and was owed cash, which he wasn't given, and his competition, and obviously all the music he'd already done. So he's won that case, and kind of sounds like rightfully so.
Well, yeah, it kind of seems like that. I mean, he has previously won another suit that saw him receiving $95,000 for unpaid work plus damages. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't really, I don't know how much you get paid for write music, frankly.
But it's another story that puts Activision in a bad light. One of many stories about Activision, which they always just come across as just twats. And the heads of Bungie up until this point have been kind of spotless, but now that they've got a bit of a stain on them now because of all this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the mighty have fallen.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. I just want to thank UK2 for sponsoring the show. They provide all the bandwidth and everything like that, for getting our show to your ears in terms of downloading the show at a later day and going back through all over the past shows. If you head on over to britishsidenetwork.com/sponsors and you can click on the link there to send you over to UK2 just so that they know that we sent you. The other thing is, if you use the voucher codes on the voucher codes on the sponsor section, you can get money off domains, VPNs, VPSs, all that good stuff. So head on over to britishsidenetwork.com/sponsors for what you need there. The other people I just want to thank is 100TB. They are in charge of getting this stream to you as we stream it, basically. So thank you very much to them. They do all that for free. They give us a free domain name. Sorry, a free domain name? What? A free server, a free dedicated server to allow us to get this stream to you. So thank you very much for that. Really appreciate 100TB. And the other thing I just want to mention is Patreon. If you like what you're hearing and you think it's awesome, then send us some money. That's all it is. You head over to patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork or britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon and you will be taken to the Patreon page where you can give us some cash. Anything you want, anything from a dollar upwards, which I think is about 60 pence or something like that these days. So anything you want up from that, and then that 60 pence just gets taken monthly, and we really, really appreciate it. We put it into hardware and everything like that. We don't eat it or drink it, despite trying. It just gets put into the hardware and just all the stuff to just kind of make the shows better and the network better for you. So thank you very much. Gentlemen, what have you been playing this week? I'm going
to
go back.
I was just about to say, Paul, although you don't eat or drink it, I have seen you bathe in money.
I have. Like I regularly bathe in money.
In a McDuck style, just diving into that huge pool of gold that you have.
I would do, but I'd break my face doing that. So
I don't think you're diving correctly, sir. Also, we will take sexual favours.
Yeah, yeah, I won't, but Sam and Chiswell.
That is a lie, Paul.
No, only from animals. Right. What have you been playing this week? We'll start off with Chiz, because actually the three of us have been playing a game fairly heavily over the last sort of couple of weeks, in fact, month or something like that. Now,
yeah, I've been putting a good...
Yeah, Chiz, yeah. So Chiz, do you want to talk about your game first, and then we'll just cover, as a threesome, the rest, just as a trio.
Okay.
So you go, Chiz, go!
Metal Gear Solid 5, I've been playing since last Tuesday.
What's that about, Chiz?
It is about a Metal Gear that's solid.
Right.
And
that's this gear, what
loses
do
you do? A cog.
Right.
So it's got a bit of like a phantom pain going on.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of a funny eye, that person, though.
Yep, really enjoying it so far. Pretty fantastic. Although, because I don't know if anyone's played Peace Walker before. It's basic. Oh yeah, we'll get to her shortly. Don't worry.
What's that about?
What's that?
Yeah.
Let's have a look at that.
That's right, sleazy ones going on.
Let's see what's
no,
happening here.
No, this is a walkthrough, Paul. I don't want to see this.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, this is a walkthrough, Paul.
Okay, hold on.
Go back to the trailer.
Oh God, Jesus. This is so.
It's part one. So show us on this.
Yeah. Get off the walkthroughs. Yeah.
So, I want to see the one with a funny eye. She's got pink eye.
This one here?
Yeah.
That's a gate. That's a walkthrough.
I know,
we'll be happy
but
about
they've
that.
Had to put a patch over it and everything. I feel really sorry.
What about Freedom of Alternate Gameplay?
Yeah,
we'll go with that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's go with this one. Smooth.
Right. So if anyone's ever played Peace Walker before, which was the PSP one, there was an element of that of a base building where basically you'd capture soldiers out in the field and then assign them to whatever skills had for intelligence, support, R&D, and whatever, and you'd use R&D to level up your R&D and research certain weapons and unlock things in the game so you could take out in the battlefield. They've basically taken that idea from the PSP game and made this game from it. And I really enjoyed that in the PSP, and it's even better the version that that they've done here. Because
so is Snake now like a mercenary commander?
Yeah, it's like well, this isn't Solid Snake. This is Big Boss. He's not the clone. Solid Snake was the clone. One of three.
I knew clones. It got confused.
Oh yeah, the plot is. I've got a rough idea now what's going on, but. Dear God, it's confusing as hell.
It's a fairly standard manga type. You have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, and it's just got random mentalness in it as well, which adds the entertainment to it, but at the same time drives you mad when things just go too far and you go, what's going on there?
I just remember the ancient old man with the parrot, and the parrot waits. The sniper.
Yeah, that was one of the best boss battles ever.
And the cheat thing that you could do, where if you went into the game, came out, changed the date for a year or something, and he was dead.
He died of old age when you came back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's what makes these games great. It's full of little touches like that. For example, I've found you've got your iDroid, which is like the thing you used to bring up your map, what he's got right there on the screen, so you can select what you can. Basically, it's how you manage it's your mother base and whatnot, and select its missions you want to do, but it also has a cassette player and
Google Glass, isn't it?
Yeah. And I found a cassette player out and about.
She's not dressed.
No,
as
I said, I'm.
We had a whole thing about this, didn't we?
I will get to her, do not worry.
All right, okay, sorry, you're not finished yet. Yeah. Sorry, Sam.
I found a random 10-second long cassette of a guy just having a really bad crap, and I thought, what's that about? And then I researched my droid, and
it's that thing that Josh recorded at his 21st, that
quite possibly. I did more research on my iDroid and unlocked a speaker function on it. And I put two together where I snuck up behind the guard, he didn't know I was there, and then put it on the speaker, played that recording, and it made the guard crap his pants and run to the toilet.
Nice, okay.
And there's bits where you can make the guards fall asleep, or you can shout command, it's sort of command, so if they're out looking for you, you can get a recording and put in your cassette and play it, so it says, the enemy's been killed, so they all stop looking for you. It's full of, it's nice little touches like that, and other crazy madness. But for example, here, like you're out in the battlefield and you can call things in, and you've got there's a buddy system where so far I've unlocked, you've got your horse, which obviously can transport you around, you've got a dog which can take people out and it'll sniff enemies out for you, and this is Quiet, who's a mystical weird sniper half naked lady who doesn't say a word. And so far I've not completed the game, I've not properly unlocked her yet, but I've met her, beat her, and she's kind of like a volunteer sort of captive in my base, because she can escape whenever she wants, but I've not unlocked her to use her on the battlefield yet. And I've not read why, there was a whole sort of uproar when she was shown off, and it was Kojima said, when you play the game, there's a valid reason why she's dressed the way she is. I've still to find it, but as I say, I've not completed the game yet.
Yeah.
But going by everything I've read online, the reviews I've read have said, we won't go into detail what it is, but it's paper-thin excuse. It's apparently it's stupid reason why she's dressed the way she is, and it's just...
It's just really hot.
Yeah, it's just for 13-year-old boys, and...
I don't know, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's just... I'm really enjoying the game, but that element is just kind of why? What was the point in that? It feels like, right, we've moved on from game, and
we've grown up.
Yeah.
Even kids don't really expect that anymore.
Yeah, and it's not just us, gaming has grown up at the point where we shouldn't be doing this crap anymore. The game shouldn't be about that stuff. You do get games that are all about that crap, which I'm not interested in, but why has Metal Gear got that crap in it?
Yeah.
And it's always had a bit of a pervy element. All the games have got a pervy element to them, but they've always been, if anyone actually enjoys that element of Metal Gear, then there's probably something wrong with them.
If that's the reason they're playing it.
But and when you read the comments, things, when folk have actually been saying, about Quiet, the amount of folk who jump to the defence and saying, oh, it's like, it's like artistic things are allowed to, like, it's just tits. But
it is just tits. Yeah. That's the point, idiots.
Yeah, I mean, it's that with, like, that apparati around our chest is not supporting anything.
No.
That's not providing any function whatsoever.
Yeah. And the fact is, and she just is, and the cage, it's like she's in Mother Base, she can escape from, she's just leering about, like, when I went and saw her, she's just lying on her front with her bra undone. So you can't see it, but she's lying front and just kicking her legs up in the air. And it's just like, yep, she is just in the game for teenage boys to perv on. It's just like,
when there's really? So much free porn on the internet, yeah, as well. Yeah,
exactly. I'm not upset by it and, like, outraged, but at the same time, I'm disappointed in the game for that. I just kind of feel like you're better than this. I'm not one that's going to go, oh, bloody well, women's rights, but it's just, yeah.
It does kind of feel like it's a little bit too far.
It's, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
I'm more insulted at how stupid it is than anything.
But are you enjoying the game?
Yeah. What's fantastic about it is...
So what's he doing there? Why is he tying balloons onto
this
people?
Is the Fulton... It's the
is that Fulton he steals device.
That's how you steal them, yeah. And right. They go back to your base. You have to unlock certain, like, you can steal vehicles and all sorts.
That's nuts! Why are you stealing the people?
Because you're taking them back to Mother Base, so they'll work for you now. That's how you get guys. But
you have to persuade them slightly, or they just like, all right, we're here now. Might as well get on. I'll start cleaning the toilets.
Some of the soldiers will go into your prison and eventually come around, but you have to wait for them, and some will just join you. But the idea behind it is because you're big boss, a legendary soldier, they're all like, oh, all right, yeah, I'll join you.
Because you'll probably win.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And but it's got, like, you can unlock elements. Doing some R&D, you can unlock entrepreneurs will actually start telling you the skills of the soldiers. So what I've been doing is anyone that's like a C or D or E, yeah, you're dead, who cares? But anyone that's like a B or A, ooh, I'm taking you back to Mother Base. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of picking and choosing, kind of going, nice. So I'm just going, you're dead, ooh, you're coming with me.
It's like
a deck of cards and throw an odd card.
A bit like the telescope in the game that we're going to talk about that we've not managed to make yet.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know the telescope did that. Yeah. Right, well, let's finish off Metal Gear Solid first.
It's fantastic.
I'm not pushing him on.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
I'm quite interested in it.
But I've been playing it solidly for a week now. I'm only 18% through the game.
Wow. And you play a lot. So you playing it a week
impressive.
Is quite significantly different from me or a regular human playing.
That'd take me about a couple of months, and Paul about 3-4 years.
I wouldn't finish it.
Although
there's no point in me investing. See, these games, my problem with these games are they are so vast that I'm never going to get £40 worth of value out of them.
I've been doing a lot of side ups.
Because £40 isn't about completing it. It's how much you enjoy it.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
If I'd just been concentrating on the main missions, I probably would have easily completed it now, but I've been doing a lot of the side ups, which there's apparently hundreds of them. So just whenever I'm kind of going, I'll do a main mission, I'm going to do a side up. And so, and I've never quite got... I heard somebody say they weren't sure if to go buy The Witcher because it looks like it's just too big a game. And that kind of goes, are people actually moaning that a game's... You're getting too much content.
Yeah,
it's like, it's got too much content.
Oh, for the days where it was half an hour and I'd complete
I really don't get that argument. That argument is utterly stupid, in my view. It's like, if you're getting tons of content for a price of... a normal price computer game, then what the hell
is if you're not going to complete that's fair enough. It's just how much fun you get out of it. The only time a computer game is a waste is when you bought it and you just thought, well, that was absolute dross.
Yeah.
I don't even want to go back to that.
Yeah. Well, cool. So what platforms is it on?
It's on everything. It's on.
That's Xbox gone are the One, days when Metal Gear was only on PlayStation.
Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360.
Cool. Very good. And the other game that we just wanted to talk about this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, is a game that the three of us have been playing quite heavily the last few
weeks.
And Bede as well, sorry.
Yeah.
Over the last few weeks. And it's called Ark Survival Evolved. I keep wanting to say involved. Evolved.
Evolved.
Survivor Evolved.
Yes. If you're surviving, you're involved.
That's true. That is true. So I'll just switch you over there. So the basic premise of this game is basically you start in the game. You rock up. wearing just a pair of tiny whiteies.
This is at the beginning. This is what happens. So you wake up on the beach and you've got this funny little thing in your arm. Yeah.
Which have you worked out the reason for it yet?
You've got a sore bum from all the alien probing.
The premise, yeah, basically is that you've been nabbed by aliens and then dumped. The whole thing is an alien experiment, I think.
Yeah.
So you get dumped on this beach and they populated this island with stuff. So you wake up naked, just where, yeah, from the classical period. there's another bloke in his pants running around there.
So that's how you start.
Of course, a woman in pants and bra.
And you've been knocked out.
That bloke's knocked him out.
Right. Yeah. We're just describing the video here. Talk about the game.
Yeah. So the game, I think it's an island full of
dinosaurs. It's an island full of dinosaurs.
But if you have ever played Minecraft, I think that's probably a good place to start. Yeah. Now, don't try, if you're against Minecraft in any way, don't sort of think that as a negative thing. Because when you arrive, you have to sort of start crafting things. I mean, it is effectively like Minecraft from that perspective. Mm-hmm. You have to take your fists and knock down a tree, which gets you wood and thatch. You can dig about in the ground and find fiber and stone, which then allows you to create picks and axes and all sorts of stuff like that. And that's sort of how you build your base, and it's how you build all the sort of tools that you need to attack animals. But where it really gets cool is when you start training dinosaurs.
Yeah, it does.
That's where it sort of...
it's the bit that I...
Yeah, really, I mean, all the other stuff's really cool.
But it's enjoys really, really killing those
everybody else's dinosaurs. Having said that, you killed Dorothy last night.
I
did,
but I gave you a Dorothy back.
You got me a new Dorothy.
It's called Replacement Dorothy.
So you basically go on this island and there's just dinosaurs, there's mammoths, there's weird scorpion things, there's everything. There's megalodons,
there's new dire wolves in there. Mm-hmm. There's Gigantopithecus, which are very large ape men that you can ride on the shoulders of. There's Mesopithecus, which are little monkeys that ride on your shoulders that throw poo at people.
Have they not been added yet, though?
Yeah, they've been added now. All right. There's tons of stuff. Possibly the most terrifying thing that we've come across are swarms of giant ants.
They're the worst.
They're really bad. Although we haven't come up against Tyrannosaurus rexes.
Yeah, we always make it up. We have seen them, but we've run away.
Oh, no. Me and you killed it.
Oh, no, Beat killed one.
Yeah, Beat killed one as well, hiding in the house. Yeah.
That's what you do. You hide inside a stone house and just poke its head.
So we should explain. This game
That's a dialo there.
Yeah, yeah. So this game is currently in Steam Greenlight. So it's still in beta version. I think it's currently 18 quid. I think that's what we paid for it. So you have to accept that there is going to be some limitation. So, for example, it isn't optimized to run on like every machine or anything like that.
But it gets better with
it. It is.
With each update, it gets better.
There's
nothing game breaking in it. It's solid enough at the moment.
There's a few things you have to accept. For example, if you're inside a house, sometimes the dinosaurs can stick their face through the wall.
Yeah.
But the plus side to that is you can just stand there and just poke it with a spear from inside the house, which is how Bede killed a T-Rex, because the T-Rex just kept poking its face through the wall. So there is odd things like that, but they're not game-breaking, as you say, Chis.
Yeah. Things I'd like to see improved is maybe some of the AI and the animations. When you see it's a dinosaur's kind of running about, they either just... Like, if you attack one that's trying to escape, it'll just run into a rock and get stuck there.
Yeah, that is kind of...
Or if they're following you, they get stuck in a rock and you...
They could improve how they move around.
The hit detection as well is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
So when you're attacking a dinosaur, you can look as if you've hit them, but you actually haven't. And equally, you can kind of they can attack you, and it looks like on the screen that they're miles away, but you take a hit from it.
The best tactic is to back away, rotate around them, just stab like hell.
Yeah. I was watching a video on that, and they have hit cubes on them.
Right.
So Megalodon, for example, which is a giant shark... I was attacking one of those on the ichthyosaurus, which are like the dolphin things.
And
the dolphins are really, really quick. Obviously, they're not as tough as the big shark, but you can just swim behind it the whole time and attack its tail end. But I was realizing that I'd been attacking it for ages and not actually causing any damage because its hitbox is up kind of in the rib cage area.
So hitting its tail's doing absolutely nothing.
So I had to kind of get up behind it and over the top of it, yeah, basically. Yeah. But once you work these little tactics out, it's still pretty simple and easy and fun, but it can be a bit annoying.
But you basically, you can log in a server and get all your friends to come along, and it's the same as most things. You've got PvE and PvP zones and things like that. PvP zones we found are a little bit annoying. Because basically just folks just come along and be arseholes and destroy your base every time. But the PVEs are...
I was always really tempted just to start raiding people. That's why I was in. I'm just going to raid people.
Yeah, well, you...
I was actually just going to every hut and kind of go, how did I get in here?
I think you brought the thunder a little bit down on
Because
a Russian man on a giant bird flew over and destroyed our house and killed us.
So you build little bases and things like that. It's you create a bed similar to Minecraft. You create a bed in a base. That's basically where you can respawn. Yeah. But the nice thing about it, over and above that, is when you respawn, you have the choice of any bed. So it basically gives you a map of all the beds that you hold.
Yeah.
So you can actually map the island. So for example, Sam trained an ichthyosaur and was able to quite quickly zip up and around the island. The map is huge.
Yeah, it is massive.
Absolutely huge.
So there's talk of it being improved as well.
Yeah.
They're putting like snowy areas in and also swamp areas.
Cool. So you could kind of go up on your ichthyosaur or anything else and then just drop a make a little base at the north of the island, stick a bed in it, and then you can kind of maneuver between the two.
Yep.
Which is really cool. It's you're too hot, you're too cold thing's a little annoying because I don't really find that makes too much difference.
It zaps your stamina faster depending on what you're doing.
But not to a degree that's really a big deal.
If you're really cold, you go through a hell of a lot of food.
Really?
Yeah, right, and if you get attacked, you're more likely to die.
Right.
Because you can't,
I haven't really noticed that, but that's fair enough.
You really can't regenerate your health.
I find that a bit annoying when you're just wandering around on the beach. I don't think that should really be an issue.
And also when you're holding a firing torch and it's going, oh, you're too cold.
That does heat you, though. That does heat you.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Heats you a little bit.
You have to make a fire or basically put clothes on and whatnot. But,
I choose to run around naked.
Do you remember Beav refusing to put clothes on for ages?
And in the game he did that too.
Yeah. Horrible.
One aspect I do really like about it is the fact you can knock people unconscious and just drag them around, which I found a bead when I shot him with a slingshot. Not expecting them to fall down. I just wanted to fire a slingshot and shot it. He fell unconscious. And because Bead earlier that day was attacked and molested by a scorpion, he thought, which the scorpions knock you out, he instantly screamed, there's a scorpion! And then I dragged his lanky corpse into the jungle until he realised what was going on.
It's a really, really enjoyable game. It's really quite good fun to play by yourself if you like kind of RPG survival type things. But I think where it really comes into its own is working as a group and working together and building up, because the bases you can build on this are
finding a group that you share a hatred with and attacking the people you hate.
Yeah, you can build really big, impressive bases and slaughter all of the Eskimo peoples. there's a lot to it. And they're adding all the time.
Yeah. Which they're supposed to be putting in quests, aren't they, at some point in the future?
It's kind of quite exciting to be in it as it's changing and they're adding stuff in all the time.
Is it not already got sort of quests in it? Although it doesn't really tell you.
No. The caves and
there's boss battles. Artifacts. You have to unlock to fight like
there's a frigging dragon now.
Yeah. There's a dragon at which you have to do certain things to unlock to fight.
And a huge Mungai
spider thing.
Yeah. The brood mother.
There's a white gorilla as well, I think.
A giant white gorilla.
Maybe you shouldn't have looked too much in this game. They've kind of ruined their surprises for them.
Well, we've no idea how to get to it.
Yeah.
But
then you get people who block caves so you can't go through them.
Yeah. Which is why we ended up creating our own server.
Yes, indeed.
And we've been playing on that because that gives us the island. No one's blocked off any of the caves because the creatures stop spawning if there's buildings down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finding in our new one, have you seen like how many more dodos and things there are?
Yeah, yeah.
There's loads of them. Yeah, and it's because
the first server one, it was just building to like 10 feet and it was just like
nothing was spawning, there was no animals, nothing was really attacking us for ages, and it's because
there's so many spawning. So many buildings.
But on this one, there's tons of stuff.
Yeah, so we've got our own server. If you want to join us, just drop me a tweet or an email or something like
that.
Touch. We more than welcome anybody who wants to join us in our server.
We'll send you instructions on how to find the server.
Yeah, because that's not immediately obvious.
The password as well.
Yeah, and also we'll give you details on the password. But go for it.
More than happy to have anybody who listens to this show to join us on the server. And you can join in our base or build your own base. Actually, I prefer you build your own base. Go away. Get over the other side of the island. But there's loads and loads of space.
And
it
is PvP. So
is that a PvP
zone?
Yeah,
it's a PvP server. So if you join, you can raid us, you can kill us. I'm pretty sure that makes it slightly more attractive, slaughtering us while we scream or dragging us unconscious and feeding us to a giant shark. Yeah, go for it. It's really good fun. I think we kind of agreed that we won't really accept people just coming down and totally destroying other people.
We're not gonna accept
no griefing.
Are we gonna wake up next time we play this game in a small hut with a yun shaped survivor bearing down on top of us?
God, that brings back memories.
Anyway, please.
I've got to have that drink.
please come along and join us on our server for Ark if you're currently playing Ark. I know there's a couple other folks, so Ross, who's been on the show a couple of times. Yeah, you need a PC.
And you need to buy a copy of the game, obviously.
It is coming out on
everything, basically.
Everything later on.
So you can play on Mac as long as you have a really good Mac. So I've got a MacBook Pro 2012, and it doesn't play on that.
Yeah.
So you need a kind of a more modern Mac Pro.
It was Gamescom. It was Microsoft announced that they're doing they've got their own version of early access. I think they've got I've gotten that space flight game. It's that Eve, or is it Eve?
Oh, Eve. Yeah,
Eve. They've got that at the moment, but apparently Ark's coming to that, so it's going to be free to play for people for a short period of time. It's going to do
Eve.
Early access. What's that?
No Man's Sky.
No.
The one I've got.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's called now.
It was dangerous, wasn't it? Something
elite.
Elite dangerous.
But apparently Ark's come to that at some point in the future for everyone to play and have a shot. And the good thing about the Xbox One is it's free for everyone who's got gold.
Yeah. It's right good. It's well worth it. Come and join us. And we've actually forked out already between ourselves for the server.
I owe you money.
So do I. So Paul has forked out by himself for the server, and none of us have any intention of giving him any money.
Beats paid.
Apart from Beat, because he's a mug.
52 shiny buttons.
So that's us. That's the show this week. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Twitter at Paul Wheatley, British Tech.
If you want to get a hold of me, ring my doorbell, Mother Hubbard.
At British Tech on Twitter. If you want to email the show, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Please check out our Facebook page and our Google Plus community. And we may or may not get back to you at some point in the future. The Facebook page is very well used, the Google Plus community less so. And just a reminder again, if you want to give us any cash, head on over to Patreon, britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon. Sam, do you have anything to add before we close the show off?
I played Mad Max as well, which is really good, but I'll talk about it next time.
Talk about the next show. Yeah. Cool. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you in 2 weeks. We will be back in 2 weeks. Thank you very much and good night.
Bye.